Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Unfortunately, divorce means you have less parenting power and influence than you would if you were together. It's just the truth. Okay, but where do you have influence? What is your power? And then we start talking about, hey, when the kids are in your house, you're going to teach and you're going to share those values and talk out loud.
Can we talk?
Now you're talking!
Less than 25% of all households in America today are the traditional two-parent mom and dad got married after they met each other in high school or college and are raising their own biological or adopted children. It's a different world today, and it's important that we learn how the roles of step-parents have changed in the culture as well. And on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, you're going to hear parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with Ron Deal from Smart Step Families Ministries, talking about becoming a smart stepdad. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. And now, here is Dr. Jim Burns with part one of today's program on becoming a smart stepdad. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and very excited to be with you today. We're here in the studios of Azusa Pacific University. We're with Ron Deal. Ron Deal is my go-to guy when it comes to step families. I've said this oftentimes that people come up to me at a conference and say, what do I do with my stepchild or my marriage? Because we're struggling about our stepchildren, blended families, things like that. And I always say two words, Ron Deal. It's great to have you with us, Ron. Thanks so much for being with us.
Jim, it is always an honor to be on your program.
We've got a new book. It's called The Smart Stepdad, Steps to Help You Succeed. And I just read it, and I actually love it. You're a marriage and family counselor. You live in Amarillo, Texas. You've written many other books. I appreciated Smart Step Family, Seven Steps to Healthy Family. It's a fact that 50% of children in the United States will have a step-parent at some time in their life, won't they?
That's right. 30% of kids will have a step-parent before the age 18. And another 20% will have a step-parent after that age. And, you know, that's half of kids in the United States.
Right, right. You know, I was thinking about the Mississippi River, if you think about the United States, a map. And we actually have listeners all over the world, so they may not catch this illustration. But that means that half the population is to the left of the Mississippi River, half is to the right. And that means half, if you think of it in that word picture, there's a whole lot of kids with step-parents. And it's confusing. It's not always easy. It's not like we had kind of hoped. It's not a fairy tale, is it?
Exactly. You know, for kids, essentially, the question is always, what's the fit? You know, I have a mom, I have a dad. Now I maybe have a stepmom, maybe I have a stepdad. You know, how do these people fit into my life? Where do I make room for them in my heart? And what is my relationship with them? I mean, the fundamental question that a stepfamily is asking itself from the moment the couple walks down the aisle is essentially, who are we to one another? It's a question of identity. And for kids, that's a journey as well as it is for the step parents who are trying to journey with the kids.
What's interesting is, you know, kids, whether they're very young or whether they're teenagers, they are trying to find a sense of self-identity. Mm. But one of the questions I never had growing up, because my mom and my dad, you know, stayed together, not a perfect marriage, was, you know, where do I belong and how do I belong? I mean, I had to figure it out with my brothers because they'd beat on me. But again, what you're saying is that for a stepchild, oftentimes they're going, who is this new guy? And the reason I say new guy is because by far most live with their mom.
Right.
And so who is this new guy and what am I supposed to be doing with him? And is he really dad? And I can see mom really likes him, but
right.
I'm not really sure I like him. And I've got this other dad, and he's not around right now, but I wish I had more time with him.
You know, one of the first conversations a step-parent needs to have with stepchildren is, hey, how are we going to refer to one another?
Right.
When I go to the parent-teacher conference at your school, how should I introduce you? How would you like to introduce me? You know, they have to kind of figure out, I mean, that's a good question about identity, about defining their relationship. And of course, that's going to evolve and it's going to change over time as their relationship grows. But initially, everybody's kind of wondering, okay, where's the fit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I need to ask you this question because I get this question asked every time and I'll start imitating whatever your answer is probably. But, you know, Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the United States. And so we do parent seminars all the time, and I do them all the time. And a couple will kind of wander up. And typically, again, it's the woman and her husband, and the woman's, they're going to talk about the woman's kids. And they say, you know, we're trying to raise God-honoring kids. And when we send the kids over to my exes,
you know, much more freedom, maybe even porn, the girlfriend right. stays overnight, things like that. And they just kind of look at me and say, you know, what is the answer? And I don't think there's an easy answer, but what do you say? I mean, you get that all the time, obviously.
All the time. And it's a tremendously important question because people have their values and they want to teach and instill those values. And that is our job as parents. One of the truths that I always tell people is, you know, unfortunately, divorce means you have less parenting power and influence than you would if you were together. It's just the truth. And that's an unfortunate truth because when people ask you that question, when they ask me that question, what they're hoping is that I'm going to be able to give them the answer that's going to restore to them complete control and power and influence over the values that are passed along to the kids from the other household. There's really simply no answer to that. So then that part B is, okay, but where do you have influence? What is your power? And then we start talking about, hey, when the kids are in your house, you're going to teach and you're going to, you know, share those values and talk out loud. And then when it comes to those issues that are different, dad lets them watch R-rated movies, lets them stay up all night, lets them do lots of different things. When it comes to those issues, here's the delicate line that parents have to walk. On the one hand, if you just turn to the child and say, well, you know, your dad lets you do that, you know, we both know that, and that's because your dad is a jerk and he's an idiot. Well, obviously you can't do that because what that child hears is an attack on the father. They don't hear your values at that point. They shut you off, and now all they see is hypocrisy. Oh, you're the Christian, you know, parent. You know, I'm not sure I really get that. And so you're losing influence. So you can't attack the other home. But what you can do is speak truth, but do so in love and have compassion. If a child says to mom in that scenario, well, mom, what do I do when dad turns on those R-rated movies? And then you say, wow, that's a really good question. And if I were you, I would feel really stuck because you kind of hear our values and our heart about this. And you hear the wisdom of not putting that stuff into your mind. And we kind of wish better for your dad, don't we? Yeah, mom. So what do I do? Well, that's a tough one. Let's talk about it. What might you do when dad does that in a way that's loving and kind, but yet it honors the values that you espouse yourself. And so you try to help the child develop a plan so that they can kind of carry their values. It's not too unsimilar to when we send our kids to school.
Sure.
And they go into the world and we have to try to equip them to deal with that. Well, now we're just sending them to dad's house. And we got to try to equip them to be Christ in that situation.
Right. And I think sometimes because you can't monitor what's going on in school and you can't monitor, maybe even more so in school than you can at dad's house
That's
or mom's
right.
house, whatever it is. So I think sometimes we have to also realize that we just need to be light. We need to, eventually, they may think dad's really cool right now because of all that stuff, but eventually they're going to get it. And if you're kind and show kindness and kindness even toward the stepdad and do it the way you said it, I think eventually they'll kind of wake up and say, you guys have it together. Maybe dad's struggling with it.
I got two thoughts further about this. One of them is, you know, unfortunately, because the values are different in the other home, children will often take that wide road. You know, there's a narrow road and there's a wide road. And sometimes kids do try out the values of the other home simply because they can. And that draws them sometimes into life choices and situations that we would not want for them. And so they prodigal. And what I would say to that mom is pray. Just be that consistent presence. Don't panic and become the bitter, angry mom, because then you're going to push them even further. But just pray for them to mature through that season of their life and come full circle. The other thought I have is, we're thinking about stepdads today. What is a stepdad to do in that scenario? Because let's say he's a high integrity guy, you know, great Christian values, and he himself looks at what the biological dad is in, how the dad is influencing the kids.
Yeah.
And you know, he may want to attack too. He can't. Oh. He's got to stay on the periphery and be that solid, consistent role model that just kind of constantly invites the child to the higher road.
Right. Well, I want to talk about this. You know, we're talking with Ron Deal today, talking about the smart stepdad. And you have something that you call Conquering Stepdad Mountain. That's a journey every stepfather has to tackle. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's just a metaphor to help guys think about, you know, yeah, you're climbing something. And there's parts of a climb, if you've ever climbed a mountain, there's parts of it that are really challenging and difficult. I mean, straight up kind of climbs. And there's other parts of a climb that are more gradual and easier to manage. And you know, if we're guys, we want to tackle stuff. We love a good challenge. You know, we're going to go after this. And so if a stepdad just kind of sets his sights on the summit and says, I'm going, you know, whether you want me to go or not. See, it's not just he's climbing. He's actually got a whole team of people he's trying to climb with, and that is his family,
sure.
His stepchildren, his new wife, his biological children, if they're living with their mother and the other. He's got to take into consideration all of those people and climb in such a way that they want to climb with him. And, you know, that's where it all starts. If he comes in harsh, angry, controlling, hey, I'm large and in charge right now, I'm the man of the house. You know, I call that playing who's your daddy. You know, well, I'm the daddy now. And boy, that just says to people, wait a minute, you're not a safe person to climb with. You know, fine, you just go on up a little ways, but we're staying back here at base camp.
Yeah, no, that's a hard one. And, you know, so many times it's complicated, and you write about this in The Smart Stepdad. You write about the marriage issues are so complicated. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a quote, and then I'm actually going to take a break.
Okay.
But this quote is out of your book, and you said, I wish I had a nickel for every time I'd heard a stepdad say that before marriage, he thought his girlfriend was all about him. But after the wedding, he felt duped that she had jumped ship and became more of a mother than a wife. I have heard that. I would probably want more of a dollar for every time I've heard it than a nickel. But let's talk about that when we come back. Ron Deal with us today. Great conversation today. We're talking about his new book called The Smart Stepdad. And I want to be one of these guys who encourages you that if you know someone or if you are involved in being a step parent, this is the real deal, no pun intended, or maybe a pun intended, Roger.
Absolutely, Jim. And as we're talking today about becoming a smart stepdad, so grateful to have Ron Deal with us here on the APU campus today, talking about becoming a smart stepdad. Ron's written books called The Successful Step Family and Being a Smart Stepmom and Being a Smart Stepdad. Those are resources that you'll find more about when you go to our online resource center today at homeward.com. There's a link with Ron's name to Ron's website, and you can learn more about that. So if you or someone you know is in a season of step-parenting or about to become a stepdad, these are the resources that you'll want to check out at homeward.com. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Ron Deal with us today. We're talking about keys to becoming a smart stepdad. Boy, is that important. Smart Stepdad is the book that he's written. It's a great book. It's a brand new book out, and I highly recommend it. Ron, we were talking earlier about the fact that, and I quoted you, that you wish you had some money for every time, you know, the stepdad says, you know, before the wedding, I thought this was going to be easy. This was my girlfriend, but now I kind of look at her as the kid's mom, and I feel like I'm second, third, or, you know, fourth fiddle. Obviously, you know, you hear that all the time.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Here's what's going on. This guy, he's at the base of Stepdad Mountain, okay? Sure. He's at ground floor, and he's been dating this woman that he's fallen in love with, and a lot of couples end up kind of dating inadvertently, sometimes on purpose, but inadvertently kind of compartmentalized from everything else going on in mom's life. And so his experience of this woman is that she's all about him. And you know us guys, you know, Jim, we really enjoy a woman who's all about us. And he falls in love with her, but he's also in love with the idea that she's all about him. And so then he walks up to the base of Stepdad Mountain and walks into this new role, and they launch into the climb. And what he begins to discover is that, wait a minute, she's as much or more of a mom to her kids than she is a wife necessarily to me. And that's where he begins to feel a little threatened, a little jealous, and he wonders if he got duped during the courtship. And the truth of the matter is he didn't. She never stopped being a mom. I mean, we know women, right? They're integrated beings. And even though she was on a date with him and away from her kids, she was totally thinking about her kids the whole time. He just didn't necessarily experience her in that role day in and day out, time and time and time again. And so that's what kind of throws him. And it's a two-way street. It's not his fault, it's not her fault, but they both better make sure they're finding each other in the early stages of this climb. Otherwise, they can really get disillusioned and turn on each other, and that's not good.
And they do. And one of the things that I know you said in your book is that second marriages have a higher divorce rate than first marriages.
Mm-hmm. And usually what happens is there's stress around the relationships with the children or the ex-spouses. And that stress always ripples into the couple's relationship. I think you've heard me say this before, you know, step family equals complex equals stress, and stress thickens blood. in a blended family, and that it that pulls mom and her kids away from the stepdad and his kids if he has them.
I want you to say that again.
Step families are complex. Mm-hmm. Complexity equals stress, and stress thickens blood.
Boy, that's so true, Roger. We need to like underline that because we hear that all the time, and it's a great thought. One of the things is they're kind of climbing this stepdad mountain. You talk about give permission to her motherhood role and don't be competition with it.
Yeah.
Now, what's fascinating about it is I think there have been times when I've felt the same way. You know, I'm not a stepdad, but I felt the same way with Kathy and with our girls. But you're saying, no, give permission to the motherhood role. Don't be the competition. How do you do that? What's practically, how do you speak?
If he finds himself constantly jealous of her mom role, he just needs to do a bit of a gut check and just stop and pull back and say, but wait a minute, this is her world. This is her life. This is very much a priority for her, not the priority. I mean, he needs to be a huge priority and the marriage needs to be a big priority, but he needs to give permission to it. Here's a universal truth that really applies to all kinds of stepfamily relationships, and especially in this situation. When you give permission to people loving and liking and getting along with other people, it brings a grace in their opinions of you. But when you get possessive, if he starts clawing for her time and energy and pulling her away from her mom role and does so, you know, with an arrogance about him, possessiveness divides.
Yeah.
You know, grace connects and possessiveness divides. So when he gives permission, the paradox is it frees her to be mom, but then to also return and give to him. And she's going to value that
permission.
Yeah, you
know, that's just good marriage advice, good parenting advice.
Absolutely.
What do you say to the person who says, you know, this is all fine and well, but you don't understand my role. You know, it's almost crazy dysfunctional here. And I came into this picture and I thought, I'm talking about the dad, I thought that I was going to rule the roost. I thought I was going to do the discipline. And my wife saying, wait, this is not your kid.
That's right. And that's particularly difficult for a stepdad who has his own children and he was the master of that universe.
Right.
He did,
right.
you know, lead well and had great influence. And then he comes in and he just kind of assumes that it's going to be the same, only to discover that he's, you know, undercut and vetoed by the mom and some other things. And that really is a frustrating place for any step parent, stepmom or stepdad. It's a frustrating place to be. And, you know, the delicate balance is finding your voice, finding a way to speak to your wife and try to connect with her around the benefit you want for the family. I mean, if it becomes her agenda versus his agenda, he might very well be marginalized even further. So he's got to appeal to her and say, look, I'm not against your kids. I'm for your kids. And I just kind of think they need to pick up their own socks. And so what I want to try to do is build responsibility into their lives. And I know you have your priorities too. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about what is going to benefit the children and really express that's his heart and his intent? All too often, a step-parent will come to the biological parent and say, look, your kids are getting away with murder. You're just a horrible parent. And well, that shuts that parent down. Now they're pushing back and saying, well, wait a minute, you're telling me I'm an awful parent and who are you to come in here? And now they're against each other. So he needs to communicate very clearly. I am for you. I am for your kids, but I don't necessarily see eye to eye, but let's talk.
Yeah. You know, good point. We often talk in the marriage side where we'll say, who is your enemy when you're in an argument? Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, you know, she is or he is.
Yeah.
We go, no, the enemy is that you're having a hard conversation. Mm-hmm. Don't look at each other as enemies. And sometimes I think in the step-parenting role, you know, that can take place. Now, whether it be a step-dad or a step-mom, when you've got a step-child, you experience loss. The kid has experienced loss. Everybody in the entire thing has experienced loss. They feel defeated. Some feel shame. Some feel, I mean, incredible sense of relief too, because they're out of a tough situation, whatever it might be. And you feel all of those probably.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about the kid now, and I'm thinking about the stepdad, or really truly the stepmom too. These kids feel loss.
Yeah.
And you talk about that in your book. What do you do? How do you help a kid who feels lost? And maybe they don't even know how to articulate that.
Well, a lot of stepdads and stepparents didn't know it, but they're a grief counselor because they have to find ways of helping the children articulate their sadness and wrestle with it and face it over an extended period of time. It's not that, okay, if dad is deceased or mom and dad divorced, whatever that significant loss was that has now brought forth the blended family situation, that goes on in a child's heart and life, and it's not a one point in time. And so give permission to the sadness. Give permission as life and new seasons of life bring about a return of sadness. So in other words, developmental stages of a child's life, when they have their first boyfriend and girlfriend, and then that kid breaks up with them, they're going to experience sadness and maybe for the first time think, oh, well, that's what mom did to dad when they divorced. And now they have to reprocess loss over again. And then when they're graduating from high school and they have to have two graduation parties because they can't, mom and dad can't be in the same room with one another. And they have to again process the fact that mom and dad are not together and my life is complicated and I don't like this. You know, for that stepdad to come in with a heart of compassion and just say, you know, I know this must be tough for you at this point in your life. You wish everybody could be together, but it's just not that way. And I'm sorry for you. And can we talk about that a little bit? To have that kind of soft humility and compassion in approaching a child and just being real about what hurts for them really gives permission to it and opens up new pathways for connection.
You know, I think you're getting to a major point with step-parenting, that oftentimes the step-parent, whether it be dad or mom, can be almost the compassionate one to kind of come alongside them and say, how do you feel? Or here's how I would feel.
It's endearing. And let me tell you, when I talk to kids, you know, whether they be 16, 18, or 35, and mom's getting remarried to stepdad who's 65, you know, when he has that compassion, it is endearing.
Right. Absolutely.
The children open to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, compassion, kindness, it's endearing.
It always is.
Exactly right. You have a concept that you call letting the bullet bounce. What do you mean by that?
I mean, step-parents need to put on thick skin every once in a while. A kid, for example, my classic illustration is a kid who says, "You're not my dad. I don't have to do anything you say. I don't have to listen to you. I don't even want you here." That's a bullet, all right? And that's going to hurt. But the challenge for the stepdad is, hey, can you put on the bulletproof vest? And you'll still be struck by the bullet. It's going to leave a bruise. You're probably going to get knocked off your feet. But you'll be able to catch your breath and remember that this kid is just sad. They're just hurting over dad not being here. They're hurting over the complexity of their life. Or they're hurting over losing connection in their family and security in their family. And it's just being blasted against you. You got to remember it's not all about you. And that's really hard, but that helps a stepdad endure the bullet. If, on the other hand, he takes everything personally, And he just says, well, that's rejection of me. They don't want me around. Forget this. I'm out of here. He'll do the typical male thing that we typically do as guys, and he'll withdraw. He'll shut down. He'll disconnect. And now things are a whole lot worse. So he's got to find a way to build up that ego strength and remember the truth about him. Mm. And the truth is God loves him, and he matters because of that. Number two, his wife loves him. And so he has a place in the home. It's just, at this point in time, a relationship with a child is tense. It's tough. And the kid's in a raw place. And he's just kind of, you know, getting the raw end of that deal, taking the short end of the stick. And so it's about surviving. Letting the bullet bounce is really about surviving and living another day to build relationships.
And that's really what we've been talking about the entire program. Thank you for coming on. You got to come back next time because we've got a lot more to talk about.
We certainly do. And we hope that you'll be with us as well for part two, the continuation of this conversation with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and Ron Deal from Smart Step Families Ministries here on the Homeward Broadcast. We're going to keep on talking about becoming a smart stepdad. These are principles for learning how to scale Stepdad Mountain that you'll find in Ron's book called The Smart Stepdad. It's a perfect compliment to the book he co-authored with Laura Petherbridge called The Smart Step Mom. And you can learn more about those resources when you go to homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.